Sorry.
Well,
I'm so sorry. What are you doing?
If Kenneth makes it, then he has to pay for the
wall. Alright, everybody grab your Bibles.
Yeah, if Kenneth makes it, he has to pay for the wall.
Ethan has a bad habit of that. Oh, more than that, trust me.
I just saved $30.
I didn't want to save me
$30. Okay, everybody, grab a Bible, turn to 2 John. It only has one chapter, that's why I don't say the chapter number. It only has one, yeah. It's the shortest book of the Bible. Whoa, cool, dude. 2 John... It's 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, Revelation. So 2nd, 3rd, Jude, Revelation. It's like the 4th to last book of the Bible. 4th last. Yeah, pretty much to the very back. Oh, not that far back. 5th last? No, 2nd, 3rd, Jude, Revelation. Well, 1 John is the 5th to last. So you go 1st, 2nd, 3rd, Jude, Revelation. That'd be the 5th. So 2nd is the 4th. Yeah. Whoa. Gotcha. All right, let's all stand on our feet. We're going to read from verse 7 down to 11. 7-11. I didn't even plan that. Wow. Okay. For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. That is no good. That's not good. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ Jesus does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ Jesus has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. Dear Lord, we are thankful that we were all able to come here to this place, to gather together and to study your word together and to fellowship together, to enjoy donuts together. And we pray that you would bless this time as we study your word, Lord. Fill our hearts with your spirit. Let us have an excitement and a focus for what you have for us. And I pray that you would speak through me. Let every word that I speak be completely from you. And I pray that each of us would grow deeper in you together today. And we pray all this in your name. And all of God's people said, amen. Have a seat, everybody. So we're continuing in our series, To Whom It May Concern. Look at that artwork. Chris Denlinger made that. Ooh, ah. Ooh, look at those fonts. Wow. Ah. So we've been, two fonts. Look at that. Two fonts. I think it's just one pen and a cap.
Oh.
Thank you very much. We've been focusing on truth. A whole lot of truth. This has been the focus. It's the focus of both of these letters. So we've really been diving deep into what truth is, how it applies to us as Christians. Looking at how we as Christians are to live in truth, to walk in truth. We've been basically like when you're building a house, because I know all of you have built houses before, as have I. Just kidding. When you're building a house, though, or anything, you got to lay that foundation. And even before you lay the foundation, you got to like level the ground that you're going to lay the foundation on. So we've been doing that. We've been leveling the ground, pouring that concrete, smoothing it out. If that concrete is uneven by an inch, you will not like your life because your house will not be good. It'll be a bad house. So we're just pouring a foundation. And we're making that foundation as strong as we can. And that's what we've been doing. But today we begin building that foundation. Every boy's who had Lego, this is the dream of that boy.
Lego.
The Lego boy. Yeah. And the Lego girl. Legos have done a lot better at like marketing to girls now, you know?
Wow.
That's all you have is Legos? But, like, it used to be Legos were only, like, Star Wars and, like, boy, like, Indiana Jones and, like, boy stuff. Now it's, like, you can get Lego princess, Lego castle, Legos that aren't, like, blue and green. And it ruined it. What? You guys are terrible. But so we're starting the build. We're building today. We'll be getting to the why of the what that we've been looking at this whole time. So we'll be looking at the reason why our understanding of truth is so important. The reason why living in truth is so important. So we're getting that why to the what. The what's, you know what I'm saying? The what's that we've been looking at so far. In verse 8, John says, "It's so we do not lose those things we worked for, but that we may receive a full reward." So what he's talking about, it's kind of similar to exercising. Do any of you guys exercise, like for sports? Mm-hmm. Exercise your thumb for video games?
No.
I have the strongest thumbs in the world. But yeah, so it's like, it's kind of like an exercise illustration. Like, I recently started doing CrossFit, which is insane. It is like suicide. That's what it feels like.
Do you suicide?
Yeah, Emily? Your parents do CrossFit? Does it kill them? It kills me. I went to a workout yesterday and threw up after. And I've been doing it for a month. I'm like, it's so bad. It kills me. But what it is, it's constantly varied functional movements performed at relatively high intensity. So it's like you're working out your body to get it to like the fittest it can be. And there's like no machines. It's all about like using your body. But what's interesting is it takes about 3 months to work up to like the max endurance level in fitness. So it'll take about 3 months to get to a point where your endurance is where it should be. You are fit at that point. But according to Pete Majil, he is a 55-year-old who can run a 15-minute 5K. Do you realize how crazy that is? He's 55 and he has like a 5-minute mile for 3 miles straight. Whoa, it probably takes me 15 minutes to run a mile. But in 1 week, according to Pete Majil, you can lose 50% of any amount of progress you've earned working out. So if you've been exercising for 2 years, if you take 1 week off, you lose 50% of that endurance and agility that you've earned. Whoa. So this is what he's talking about. It's kind of like every time we dive deeper into the truth, it's like we're exercising our spiritual muscles. Exercising our spiritual muscles. You know what I mean? That's like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Okay, I tried, but it was pretty bad. So it's like we're exercising those spiritual muscles. And the more time we spend, the more process we make. And our enemy, the devil, he's not just like on the sidelines, like, oh, I hope that they like take a break and like fall off their routine. And I hope that they like trip and fall and get messed up. No, he is doing all that he can to steal the progress that we've made in our depth and relationship and maturity with God. So, the title of this morning's teaching is Protect Your Progress. And it's basically, we're going to be looking at how we as Christians can protect the progress that we've made in the truth and understanding and maturity of our spirituality with God. So we're going to look at three ways that John shows us how we can protect our progress. First, boom, look at that, wow. First, abide in truth. Second, avoid deceivers. Third, observe perspectives. See, those all kind of flow. The last time I did points, they sounded so bad, but those kind of flow. Abide in truth, avoid deceivers, and observe perspectives. So let's start with abide in truth. In verse 9 of our passage, John says, "Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. So this word, abide, what it is it's like a, it's kind of like a farmer reference. Like Jonah's like, shout out to all my farmers out there. And they were like, huzzah, raising their pitchforks and stuff. I don't know. But, huzzah. What would farmers say? But what this is, there's a branch, you know? So you take a branch, and then you have vines, like little vines that abide into the branch, like they connect into it, and then the power of the vine, like the juices, flow through the vine. You know what I'm saying? So here's the vine, and then the branches connect, and then they flow together. So what it's saying is basically it means to connect to the truth, the doctrine of Jesus Christ, and then to remain in it, to not be taken away from it. Like our enemy, the devil, his goal is to take us away from that, to pull us off of the vine. But what we need to do is abide in it and remain in it and stay there and not be taken away from it. So, according to the truth, what we need to do is abide in the doctrine of Jesus Christ. And you guys know the doctrine of Jesus Christ. So I'm not going to teach you the doctrine of Jesus. We're just going to go over it. And of course, we could look at all of these aspects of Jesus Christ, and I'm pretty sure each of us could spend hours looking at it, and then we'd learn more things about it that we didn't know before. But because you guys have a pretty good understanding of the doctrine of Jesus, I'm just going to give you the points of the truth and the doctrine of Jesus that are necessary and fundamental to a Christian's life. So this is what he's talking about when he says the doctrine of Christ. So first, the Trinity. You know, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three separate but all in one. We talked about that before. We had a whole teaching on the Trinity. It's really complex. They're separate, but they're together. They're one, but they communicate. It's confusing, but it's cool. Second, Jesus' virgin birth. So he came to this earth through Mary, and he doesn't have a physical earthly father. So that's an important aspect of the truth of Christ, the virgin birth of Jesus. Third, Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. You guys know that, of course. Fourth, Jesus is God. Fifth, Jesus was fully man, fully human, fully flesh. Second, Jesus was perfect. Third, Jesus died on the cross to save us from our sin. And then Jesus was resurrected and ascended into heaven. And then in the future, Jesus is going to return and come back for us. You guys know all that, right? Yeah? You guys have heard that probably hundreds of thousands of times. But that is the fundamental doctrine of the person of Jesus Christ. So when John says to abide in the truth, that is the truth that he's talking about. Now then he tells us to avoid deceivers. This, in verse 10, he says, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, the doctrine of Jesus Christ, do not receive him into your house nor greet him. In verse 7, he calls these people deceivers. They're deceivers. And a deceiver, in what he's talking about, is anyone who tries to convince us that any aspect of the doctrine of Jesus is wrong. So those points that we talked about, Jesus coming from a virgin birth, the Trinity, Jesus the only Son of God, Jesus is God, Jesus was fully man. If they try to do anything that goes against any aspect of that, they are deceivers. And if they try to convince us otherwise of the truth, they are deceivers who are out basically to steal the progress that we've made in Christ. It's someone who tries to convince us that something of something that is false is true. So they're trying to convince us that this false understanding that they have, whatever it is, whatever the false aspect is, they're trying to convince us that it's true. And we see this all over the world right now, because in our world, everybody wants to be right. Everybody is like, you believe what you believe, I'll believe what I believe, and we can all be true, and we can all have our own opinions, and then it'll just work out. If we all think we're right, then nobody's wrong, right? But then no one's right, right? Or wrong. Like, that is really how the world is, though. And John tells us to treat these people very seriously. Because he's talking from experience. He's not, like, predicting the future. This is something that they were facing at their time. Because a group of God-believing people who were religious, they were false teachers, they came out of the church of Christ, out of the Christian group, and they were called Gnostics. They believed in Gnosticism. And what that was that Jesus was not truly God, was not truly God in the flesh. So they made up these ways that it was possible. So either people seemed to think that Jesus was real, he looked like you could touch him, but in actuality he was just a spirit, he was just fully God, he wasn't fully man as well, so he wasn't a physical human being. Or they said, when Jesus was baptized and the Holy Spirit came down, they say in that moment, the Spirit of God came upon him, but then right before he died, where it was most important for the Spirit of God to be fully man, fully God, they say that it left him. And so this teaching, they were bringing it into the churches that John was ministering to and plucking people out of their faith. Because when we don't believe that Jesus is God, our gospel is destroyed. Because God did not give his only son, God, to come and take our sins as God and take our place. And so we have to understand that these teachings were false. And John is like, watch out. These people are out to get you. They're out to steal your faith, to take the progress of those spiritual muscles that you've been exercising for however long it's been, 3 months, 3 years, 30 years. Nobody's been doing it for 30 years in here, but you never know. Treat these people seriously, is what John's saying. So what he means when he says that is actually pretty intense. He tells them not to even welcome these false teachers into their home. So when they come knocking on the door, and at that time, basically the false teachers were like traveling pastors, and what they'd do is they'd come to a city of Christians, and they'd be like, hey, can I stay in your home? I'll teach the message for a bit, house me, feed me, and then I'll be on my way. And John's like, don't even let these people in your home. And when you turn them away, don't be like, good luck. Don't say, hey, I hope you find somewhere else, though. He is like, just send them away. Don't have anything to do with these false teachers. He says, if you welcome them into your home, and if you greet them, if you're like, hey, good to see you. Hey, I hope you guys have a good time doing this. I hope you guys accomplish everything you want to do. I hope that things go well, that things work out for you. He says if we do that, that we are partnering in their evil deeds. And we are. We're teaming up with them so that they're able to do the work that whatever it is that they're trying to do. So if they are teaching that Jesus is not God, that Jesus was not fully man, and we welcome them into our homes, we encourage them, we say, yeah, we can all be true, we can all be right, it's all good, then we've entered in as partners into their evil deeds. And we are partaking in that evilness that John is telling us to avoid. John is telling us to avoid it like it's the plague. Don't let them touch you. Don't let them talk to you. Because it's a really serious thing. That's why our focus has been realizing that truth is not something that everybody has. When we talk about existence and eternity and Jesus and God, not everybody's view and opinion can just be right about that. It has to line up with what God sets in Scripture so that we can realize people who are against that are false. And then we can respond and act the way that John is encouraging us to do so. Yeah, Tacy.
But it's like, what if like Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons are like going door to door? Does that mean just like
how
to come outside or something
and
not
grasp
them at all?
Basically, I'll probably go into it a little more detail later. But so she said, if Jehovah's Witnesses come to your door, and Jehovah's Witnesses do not believe that Jesus is God. They believe that Jesus was a very important person, but not that he was God. So they are taught to ignore anything we say about Jesus being God. Literally, to ignore it. To where if we say, hey, can I just show you a verse where Jesus says, I am God? They will say, no, I won't believe it, and they'll walk away. That's what they're trained to do. Obviously, not every person will do that. That's the prayer. But that's what they're taught. So, if these people come to our door, and what John's telling us not to do is to not say, oh, hey, we all believe in God. Come on in. Let's talk about him together. You believe a little different than me, but we can all be right. Let's just have a good time together. And then maybe we buy their magazine. We say, hey, I'm not going to believe what you believe, but good luck in what you're doing. I hope that things go well. Hope that you don't get sunburnt, you know, whatever it is. John's telling us not to do that because we are encouraging them into this evil deed that they are a part of. We are encouraging their false teaching. So I'll go into a little more depth of what that means, but what John's telling us is to not act like we support what they're doing. You know, sometimes we can be like, we can just take the magazine and be like, okay, I don't really want to talk, but it's okay. Hope you guys have a good day, though. He's telling us not even to be like, hope you have a good day. He's telling us to be like, I believe that Jesus is God. You don't. I can't encourage what you're doing. So you just need to keep moving. You need to keep going. And don't be like, I hope you find someone to talk to. Because we should hope they find nobody to talk to. Because if they convince someone that Jesus is not God, then we have so much more work to do as Christians who abide in the truth of God. So our goal is to really just stop them. And unfortunately, we can't, like, throw rocks at them or, like, get them with water guns. If we could, that's what we should do, but we can't. Can't water gun them. Nerf? Yeah, we could nerf them. Yeah. Just kidding. Nobody nerf Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons. They're nice people, usually. Yes, sir. Lock them in the bathroom? No. No. No, no, no. That would be a hostage situation. No, as Christians, we do not take Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons as hostages. No. But this mentality, do you see how it's against what the world wants us to think? Because the world says, why can't we just all agree? Why can't I believe a little different? Why can't you believe a little different? Why can't we be okay with it? That's what the world says. That's what we see everywhere we go, on our school campuses, on our TV screens, on our Facebooks, Instagrams. We see it everywhere. Let me believe what I believe, and you believe what you believe, and let's be okay with that. But that's not right. That's not what we as Christians are called to do. We're called to notice when someone's belief and opinion and viewpoint is false. And then act upon it. And not just act like it's okay, but realize that that is wrong. So, we've got to avoid deceivers. And then we have to observe perspectives. We, as Christians, cannot just be like little Augustus Gloop, walking through that chocolate factory, eating whatever comes our way. Look at him! It's so gross. But seriously, when Augustus Gloop walks into that chocolate factory, he's okay. Like, he's not crazy. But when he gets into that candy room where everything's made out of candy, you can eat the grass, you can eat the chocolate river, you can eat the leaves, you can eat everything. Yeah, you can eat the little teacups made out of the flowers that make teacups. He goes crazy. Like, his mind turns off. Like, his mental ability to process just turns off. And he goes into just, like, eat mode. And he is eating everything. Like, I don't even know if it's going in his mouth. He's more just, like, absorbing it. And then he goes into that chocolate river and just, like, drinks it. Yes.
So, behind the scenes, the cups, little candy cups,
mm-hmm.
there was actually tea in them,
Ew. And they ate wax? They ate wax. Sick. Gross. Gross. But the world currently, it wants us to believe that every viewpoint, every ideology, every opinion out there, that they can all be true. No matter how different, how diverse, how crazy they are, they can all be true. And if we just pull an Augustus Gloop and turn off our minds and start taking in all these different views in the world and say, that's true, that can be true, that can be true, yeah, I don't believe that, but yeah, it can be true. This world is going to engulf us, just like Augustus Gloop was engulfed by that chocolate tube that sucked him up and then like cooked him into fudge. And so we cannot just turn off our minds and go through this world taking in everything that comes our way. We have to start acknowledging views that do not line up with the truth of God's scripture, the truth of the doctrine of Christ. We have to realize those are false. And then we have to avoid those in our lives. We have to put up guards. Just like when you're working out. If you've gotten past those 3 months, I've not gotten past those 3 months, so working out is a pain. But if you've gotten past those 3 months, you need to start putting up guards in your life. When you go on vacation, you're going to have to go jogging for a little bit so you don't lose that endurance, so you don't lose that strength that you've earned. And just like when you've made that progress working out, like you have to protect it. As Christians, we need to protect the progress we have made in our spiritual walk with God. Verse 8 says, "Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. Oh, there it is. A full reward. That we may receive a full reward. Look to yourselves." What it means is really to contemplate amongst yourselves. So what he's telling us is to look at the different views in the world. Look at the different teachings, the different opinions. And instead of just mindlessly taking that in and saying, that can be true to them, but this is true to me, asking yourself, asking others, discussing inside and outside what is true about that and what is false about that. As Christians, we have to be minds that are able to objectify opinions. So take people's opinions and look at it in a way that might be a little offensive, might be a little disconnected. And we need to say, what's true about this? What does Christ's scripture say? Despite how close I am to that person, despite how nice that person is, what's the truth of scripture say? And it's important as Christians to discuss it amongst ourselves, to look to ourselves and say, hey, why are Jehovah's Witnesses? Why do we disagree with that? Why do we disagree with Mormonism? Why do we disagree with Buddhism? Like, why can't we just look at walls and meditate all the time? Like, it's important to know this. You know, like, and it's okay to ask the questions, why? To say, why is, the Muslim religion, why is that wrong? It's okay to say, why is homosexuality wrong? Why don't we allow homosexuality in the church? Because when you ask these questions, why? Then you know the reason to all of the what's that are in the world. And we need to be able to, as Christians, to look to ourselves and say, hey, why is this? Why is that? And understand within Scripture what is true and what is false in this world. So, as we come to a close, I want to kind of go back to what Tacy was talking about. So this isn't saying, and you can take Augustus Gloop down. Look at him, he's so cute. Look at him. Look at his eyes. He's like...
I bet you he's very buoyant.
You can tell you're close to me.
Really bad.
Yeah, like... Yeah, and like he hit rock bottom and now he's trying to figure out how to get back up. So, like the moral of this story is not to, like, next time you see a Jehovah's Witness or if you have Jehovah's Witness friends and family, don't like take them into your shed in the back and lock them away and starve them and feed them like breadcrumbs. If you have like a friend who believes in Buddhism, you don't like have to kick them every time they're meditating or something. Yeah, what's it? Do you have a question?
Yeah.
About Catholics? So, Catholicism is actually pretty close to Christianity in that a lot of the doctrinal statements of Christ we do line up with. It's just they take it a step further and add a lot of religion. And we know through the Bible from, I believe it's Paul says it, I'm not 100% sure, but it's by grace that we have been saved through faith, and it's not of works that we should boast. So Catholics believe that you have to do a lot to keep that faith going, where we believe that you have to basically faith a lot and that faith goes. You know what I mean? You have to rest on that grace. But they believe that Jesus is God, and a lot of Catholics have a genuine relationship with Jesus, and for that reason, they will be in heaven with us. Yeah, Emily? German Baptists. Ooh, I actually do not know enough about their doctrinal beliefs to say. I do believe that they believe Jesus is God. I'm pretty sure they believe Jesus was fully man, that his sacrifice paid for his sins. I think that is, again, the only one I'm not sure is about their belief of the Trinity. And I would think they believe in the Trinity completely, but I'm not sure. Do you know, Chris?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure
they do. The Trinity completely? Yeah. Like, they are all at the same time. So yeah, if they line up in those important things, it doesn't matter what the person dresses like. It doesn't matter what they think the songs have to sound like. It doesn't matter what they think they have to wear. But what matters is, do they believe that Jesus is God? Do they believe that Jesus was fully man? Do they believe that that sacrifice of Jesus covered our sins? And if they line up with those things that you know, that stuff, if you have grown up here, if you've been here for 4 years or more, that stuff is like rooted in your DNA. Like, they do that in the children's ministry on purpose. Like, they practically inject you with the doctrine of Christ, which is good. It's really good. So when you hear things that don't line up immediately, there's going to be stuff going up where you're like, whoa, they don't believe that. Whoa, they don't understand that. And then you can bring it to the church. You can bring it to your friends, bring it to your family and say, hey, why do you think this is? Why do you think that is? So German Baptists, no, you don't have to take them to your backyard and lock them in a closet. Just don't do that with anybody. So back to the point, though. The point is that this isn't saying that you can't be friends with those who have different beliefs. It's not saying that you can't talk to those who have different beliefs, but we have to understand that there is truth and there is false. There are things in this world that are true and there's things that are false. And when you realize that someone you're friends with, that everything that they weigh their life on is false, that relationship dynamic is going to change. Because you're going to make sure that they're not in control of that relationship. You're going to make sure that they're not trying to dictate who's in charge. They're not trying to lead you in their truth. They're not trying to lead you in their faith. You're going to make sure that's kind of naturally what you would do when you realize that their belief is false. So it's okay to be friends with them. It's okay to talk with them. But we have to realize that since they are in a false belief, that our goal is to bring them to the truth. Our goal is to not just hang out and agree and be one and one and like agree to disagree. No, agree to disagree is, I don't even know what that means. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. How do you agree? It's like, I would rather you say, okay, let's just not argue anymore, instead of saying, let's agree to disagree. Because, no, it doesn't make sense. I've never agreed to disagree with someone. Like, let's disagree. No, let's just disagree. And so, allow that understanding that they are false in their beliefs, whether they're, you know, Buddhist or Mormons, Jehovah's Witness, Sikhs, you know, whatever it may be. And don't let them try to pull you away from the progress you've made. Instead, try to pull them to you and allow them to start making progress in depth and maturity in their faith. You know what I'm saying? You see the switch? You see the switch? Because if we believe that we're all true, we're just going to be like, okay, we can all just take off together, and then they're going to start to influence you, and then all of a sudden you're going to be questioning if Jesus is really God, and then at that point, you've started to strip away progress that you've made, and then you're going to have to like, yeah, I don't know what you're going to have to do. No, you're not going to have to start over, but you are going to have to study the scriptures in a more depth to find out for yourself why Jesus is God and how Jesus is God, which is good. I think it's important for everyone to do that. But the better thing is instead of having your maturity and your depth and the growth that you've taken, instead of having that stripped, just continue to build upon it, to grow on it. Like, yeah, I think that's so important. I could go on for days about that, but I'm not going to. I'm going to spare you guys. Is that okay? Whew, that's a relief. So, you see how we're putting that truth to work now? So we've defined what truth is. We've understood it. We've seen how we can live by it. And now we're putting it to work. We're seeing how it changes everything we do. It should change the movies you watch. You should be like, whoa, they're preaching a message to me that is false. And I am not going to let this movie influence me. Like, you don't need to say that out loud, like at the movie theater. This is a false prophet! Turn this off! I want my money back! And I'm giving you back the t-shirt. Who gets t-shirts at the movies? That is the lamest thing. Oh, no. But it should start. You should see messages in movies and be like, oh, that's false. I'm not going to let that influence me. You should be reading books and be like, oh, that is not the truth of God. I better not let that influence me. And then if you start to realize it influencing you, then you got to avoid it. Then you got to push yourself away from it. Okay, I'm going on and on and on. Do you guys have any questions?
Nope.
Concerns? Frets? Fears? Any techniques on how you're going to get Jehovah's Witnesses? Just kidding.
Get my machine in your gun.
But no, I think, so if a Jehovah's Witness came to my door, I would just, in the most respectful way, because we don't need to be disrespectful, I would say, you know, I don't believe what you guys believe, and I don't think that should be encouraged or promoted, so I'm not going to be able to take your stuff, but get out of here. Just kidding. Yeah, Daisy.
I have two Jehovah's Witness friends.
Yes, that's awesome.
One time, one of them gave me, like, a children's Bible, and my mom, she was looking through it, she's like, this is so cool, you actually got one, and she was just, like, going on and on and on about how cool it was that they gave me one. I'm like, they just handed it to me and asked if I wanted it, and I'm just like, well, sure, because I didn't know what it was, and I'm like, yeah, sure, because I thought it was just a book, and she's like, okay. Then I came home, I look at it, and I'm like, I just took a Bible.
Wow. Uh-oh. Tacy's reading from the Jehovah's Witness Bible. Uh-oh.
I don't even know where it is.
Oh, you lost it? That's good.
My mom is looking through
it. Tacy,
that
has
to
go
But, yeah. Okay. Let me pray for us, then you guys can continue to talk. Talk about this. If you have any questions, come to me, Chris, Bailey. Bailey will handle the theology ones. Okay, let me pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this opportunity that we've had to really dive deep into your truth and to understand how this world has really corrupted truth, Lord, and how we have to, as Christians, realize where the world has changed truth and how we need to cling to what your truth is and what your, what the doctrine of Jesus Christ is, Lord. So help us to cling to that in such a way that when someone tells us something that differs in that, so when someone tells us something that goes against the truth, that we would notice it right away, Lord. Give us that just as like a natural instinct to have, we pray, Lord. And then we pray that you would show us how to how to be an influence to our Jehovah's Witness friends, to our Sikh friends, to our Muslim friends, to our Mormon friends, to our Catholic friends, whatever it may be, Lord. Show us how to influence them instead of allowing what they believe as truth to influence us, Lord. I pray that we would grow deeper in you, Lord, that our impact and our influence in this world would just become stronger as we continue to grow in you. We love you so much, Father, and we pray that you would be glorified in us and through us this week. And we pray all this in your name, and all God's people said...